Please, leave the light on. Tonight's vigil is held in the company of Richard Matheson, with his thoroughly nasty little story, Drink My Blood. Matheson was an American novelist and screenwriter who wrote seminal episodes of The Twilight Zone, which took us on a journey to a wondrous land of the imagination, or, in this instance, to a place of horror and degradation. The people on the block decided definitely that Jules was crazy when they heard about his composition. There had been suspicions for a long time. He made people shiver with his blank stare. His coarse, guttural tongue sounded unnatural in his frail body. The paleness of his skin upset many children. It seemed to hang loose around his flesh. He hated sunlight, and his ideas were a little out of place for the people who lived on the block. Jules wanted to be a vampire. His parents were always worried about him. An only child, they discovered his flaws quickly. They thought he was blind until the doctor told them it was just a vacuous stare. He told them that Jules, with his large head, might be a genius or an idiot. It turned out he was an idiot. He never spoke a word until he was five. Then one night, coming up to supper, he sat down at the table and said, "Death." His parents were torn between delight and disgust. They decided that Jules couldn't have realised what the word meant, but Jules did. From that night on, he built up such a large vocabulary that everyone who knew him was astonished. He not only acquired every word spoken to him, words from magazines, books, he made up his own words, like night touch or kill love. They said things Jules felt but couldn't explain with other words. He used to sit on the porch while the other children played hopscotch, stickball and other games. He sat there and stared at the sidewalk and made up words. Until he was 12, Jules kept pretty much out of trouble. Of course, there was the time they found him undressing Olive Jones in an alley, and another time he was found dissecting a kitten on his bed. But there were many years in between, and those scandals were forgotten. In general, he went through childhood merely disgusting people. He went to school, but never studied. He spent about two or three terms in each grade. The teachers all knew him by his first name. In some subjects, like reading and writing, he was almost brilliant. In others, he was hopeless. One Saturday, when he was 12, Jules went to the movies. He saw Dracula. When the show was over, he went home and locked himself in the bathroom for 2 hours. His parents pounded on the door and threatened, but he wouldn't come out. Finally, he unlocked the door and sat down to the supper table. He had a bandage on his thumb and a satisfied look on his face. The morning after, he went to the library. It was Sunday. He sat on the steps all day, waiting for it to open. Finally, he went home. The next morning, he came back instead of going to school. He found Dracula on the shelves. He stuck the book down his pants and left the library and never brought it back. He went to the park and sat down and read the book through. As the days passed, Jules read the story over and over. Late at night, when he had fallen into an exhausted slumber, his mother used to take the book into the living room and show it to her husband. One night they noticed that Jules had underlined certain sentences with dark, shaky pencil lines, like, "The lips were crimson with fresh blood and the stream had trickled over her chin and stained the purity of her death robe." Or, "When the blood began to spurt out, he took my hands in one of his, holding them tight, and with the other seized my neck and pressed my mouth to the wound." When his mother saw this, she threw the book down the garbage chute. The next morning, when Jules found the book missing, he screamed and twisted his mother's arm until she told him where the book was. Then he ran down to the cellar and dug in the piles of garbage until he found the book. Coffee grounds and egg yolk on his hands and wrists, he went to the park and read it again. For a month, he read the book avidly. Then he knew it so well, he threw it away and just thought about it. He wanted to write a composition. One day, he wrote it in class. When everyone was finished writing, the teacher asked if anyone wanted to read their composition to the class. Jules raised his hand. The teacher was surprised, but she felt charity. "All right," she said. "Pay attention, children. Jules is going to read us his composition." Jules stood up. He was excited. The paper shook in his hands. "My ambition by..." "Come to the front of the class, Jules, dear," the teacher smiled lovingly. "My ambition by Jules Dracula." The smile sagged. "When I grow up, I want to be a vampire." The teacher's smiling lips jerked down and out. Her eyes popped wide. "I want to live forever and get even with everybody and make all the girls vampires. I want to smell of death. Jules, I want to have a foul breath that stinks of dead earth and crypts and sweet coffins." The teacher shuddered. Her hands twitched on her green blotter. She couldn't believe her ears. She looked at the children. They were gaping. Some of them were giggling, but not the girls. "I want to be all cold and have rotten flesh with stolen blood in the veins." The teacher cleared her throat mightily. "That will be all, Jules. I want to sink my terrible white teeth in my victims' necks. I want them to..." "Jules, go to your seat this instant." "I want them to slide like razors in the flesh and into the veins." The teacher jolted to her feet. Children were shivering. "Then I want to draw my teeth out and let the blood flow easy in my mouth and run hot in my throat." And the teacher grabbed his arm. Jules tore away and ran to a corner. "And drip off my tongue and run out of my lips down my victims' throats. I want to drink girls' blood." The teacher lunged for him. She dragged him out of the corner. He clawed and screamed all the way to the principal's office. "That is my ambition. That is my ambition. That is my ambition." It was grim. Jules was locked in his room. The teacher and the principal sat with Jules's parents. They were talking in sepulchral voices. They were recounting the scene. All along the block, the parents were discussing it. Most of them didn't believe it at first. After that, they watched Jules like a hawk. People avoided his touch and look. Parents pulled their children off the street when he approached. Everyone whispered tales of him. Jules told his mother he wasn't going to school anymore. Nothing would change his mind. He never went again. When a truant officer came to the apartment, Jules would run over the roofs until he was far away from there. Jules wandered the street searching for something. He didn't know what. He looked in alleys. He looked in garbage cans. He looked in lots. He couldn't find what he wanted. Then, one day in the park, Jules strolled through the zoo. An electric shock passed through him when he saw the vampire bat. From that day on, Jules went daily to the zoo and looked at the bat. He spoke to it and called it the Count. He felt in his heart it was really a man who had changed. Month after month, Jules stared at the bat and talked to it. It became the one comfort of his life, the one symbol of dreams come true. One day, Jules noticed that the bottom of the wire covering the cage had come loose. He looked around, his black eyes shifting. He didn't see anyone looking. Jules tugged at the wire. It moved a little. Late at night, when he was supposed to be asleep, he would walk barefoot past his parents' room, hurry out, put on his shoes, and run to the zoo. Every time the watchman was not around, Jules would tug at the wire. When he had finished and had to run home, he pushed the wire in again. Then no one could tell. All day, Jules would stand in front of the cage and look at the Count and chuckle and tell him he'd soon be free again. Then, together, they could go all around and drink girls' blood. One night, Jules pulled the wire out and crawled under it into the cage. It was very dark. He crept on his knees to the little wooden house. He stuck his arm in the black doorway. He jumped when he felt a needle jab in his finger. Jules drew the fluttering hairy bat to him. He climbed down from the cage with it and ran out of the zoo, out of the park. He couldn't go home. He would have to have a place. He went down an alley and climbed over a fence. He held tight to the bat. He went across a yard into a little deserted shack. It was full of rubble and tin cans and soggy cardboard and excrement. Jules made sure there was no way the bat could escape. Then he pulled the door tight. He let go of the bat. It flew to a dark corner and hung onto the wood. Jules feverishly tore off his shirt. He reached down and took out a little penknife. With shaking fingers, he jabbed at his throat. He hacked. The blood ran down his fingers. "Count, Count," he cried in frenzied joy. "Drink my red blood. Drink me, drink me." He stumbled over tin cans and slipped and felt for the bat. It sprang from the wood and soared across the shack and fastened itself on the outer side. Tears ran down Jules's cheeks. He gritted his teeth. The blood ran across his shoulders and across his thin, hairless chest. His body shook in fever. He staggered back towards the other side. He tripped and felt his side torn open on the sharp edge of a tin can. His hands went out. They clutched the bat. He placed it against his throat. He sank on his back on the cool, wet earth. He sighed. He started to moan and clutch at his chest. His stomach heaved. The black bat on his neck silently lapped his blood. Jules felt his life seeping away. He thought of all the years past. The waiting. His parents. School. Dracula. Dreams. For this. This sudden glory. Jules' eyes flickered open. The side of the reeking shack swam about him. It was hard to breathe. He opened his mouth to gasp in the air. It was foul. It made him cough. His skinny body lurched on the cold ground. Mist crept away in his brain, one by one like drawn veils. Suddenly his mind was filled with a terrible clarity. He knew he was lying, half naked, on garbage and letting a flying bat drink his blood. With a strangled cry, he reached up and tore away the furry, throbbing bat. He flung it away from him. It came back, fanning his face with its vibrating wings. Jules staggered to his feet. He felt for the door. He could hardly see. He tried to stop his throat from bleeding so. He managed to get the door open. Then, lurching into the dark yard, he fell on his face in the long grass blades. He tried to call out for help, but no sounds, save a bubbling mockery of words, came from his lips. He heard the fluttering wings. Then, suddenly, they were gone. Strong fingers lifted him gently. Through dying eyes, Jules saw the tall, dark man whose eyes shone like rubies. "My son," the man said. Tomorrow night, as we're approaching your festive season, I thought I might take you to visit some rather unique carol singers. Until then, sleep well, if you can.
David Tennant was the reader, and the stories are abridged by Robin Brooks. It was produced by Clive Brill and was a Pacificus production for BBC Radio 4.